Had a guy come over to my house on Friday with a big truck. He pumped out my septic tank, my cesspool. And as he was doing it, I said to myself, well, that's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. And I looked at him. He's the guy that's got to do it.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
How do you get up in the morning and get dressed and say to yourself, I got to go pump some shit into my truck?
Ugh. Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
No point in getting dressed up too much.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. It's happening, man. It's happening. Hey. Cut that out. Man, you do that in public? God, put some clothes on. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. How are you? Good to see you today. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, this guy comes over to my house, he pumps out my cesspool, and he it stinks in there. I mean, as soon as he gets a shovel and he starts digging an area in my yard, and I thought I saw Jimmy Hoffa, but I could have been mistaken. And he's digging, and then he takes this big hose, man. He takes a hose and he shoves it into this this hole that he starts pumping out mounds and mounds of crap, and pumps it into his truck. And I'm thinking, does this require a high school education? Even does it? I mean, much less college. I mean, what are you going to specialize in, pumping out crap, advanced studies? I don't know, but he's performing a service. He's performing a cervix. And I thought, you know, this is what America should be like. Not everybody has to go to college. Why go to college? What does that do? Teaches you how to drink alcohol through a straw from a container on top of your hat. That's all it teaches you to do. What does it do? It teaches you how to party with other people. Bobby, you're not partying well with other idiots. We're sending you to college where you can learn how to be an asshole. Because you have to blend into society. What does college do? I went to college. I went to New York University, that prestigious location there in New York City in Manhattan. Down in Washington Square. Did I go to every class? No, I did not. How can you live in New York City and go to classes? There's so much to do there. I was distracted. Met a lot of people. School? Nah. No. I mean, college, nobody flunks out of college. You have to just not show up at all. Or you don't flunk out of college. You pass or you don't pass. You know, when you're in grade school and high school, kids, they have A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I have like W's. I had W's. I was given letters that they didn't even have in the grading system. It was so off the map with me. I had to buy a vowel. It was like Wheel of Fortune. It was awful. Now, in school, when I went to school, to the college, it was pass or fail, that's all. And all you got to do, you slip the professor $10 and it's always a pass. You know that, come on. Flash him your tits and you got a passing grade. Hey, it worked for me. Anyway, No, not everybody has to go to college because there are jobs to be performed that don't require an education. All they require is your ability to put up with it, your tolerance of society. Here's a guy that really didn't have to deal with people at all. When he got up in the morning, why shower? Why in the world would you shower if you're going to spend the whole day pumping out cesspools? Why shower? I'd shower when I got home, but not when I got up in the morning. You put on your worst clothes. I mean, you make believe you're going to Walmart is what you do. You put on your worst clothes, you get in the truck, and you drive to a place, you get a shovel, you dig, you find a little opening to the cesspool, you pump it out, you wash your hands with some hand sanitizer or something, you get back in the truck and you do it again. You do it all day until your truck is full of cess. I don't know what you do with the cess. I don't think there's a cess dropping point. I don't know. What do you do with all that crap in all the cesspool stuff in your trunk, in your tank there? Where do you put that? Do you flush it down the toilet? Where do you put that stuff? I don't know because I never went to college for that. But this is what the guy does apparently, and he's performing a service, and no one else will perform. Mexicans won't even do that. Forget about your immigration system or your irrigation system, for that matter. No one's going to do that job but this guy. You can picture this guy going out on a date. Well, let me tell you something. This guy was about, I'd say, 50 years old. Kind of grumpy, didn't talk much. What are you going to say? Lovely day. Where's your septic tank? Beautiful day outside, huh? It's beautiful out. Yeah, the birds are chirping, and it's lovely, and I'm getting a nice tan. All right, where the hell's your cesspool? Stand back. This guy traveled with two girls. Now, I don't know if they were his daughters. He looked like he was about 50. These girls looked like they were in their young 30s and older 20s. And he didn't introduce me to them. They were kind of good looking. They kind of looked like hillbilly chicks, you know. They had shorts on and stuff, and they looked pretty fine. They looked pretty fine. And these girls did really not much of anything. They just kind of hung around with the 50-year-old guy. And I'm thinking, if this is not his daughters, why would he take his daughters with him on cesspool jobs? I mean, it's just kind of weird to do that. But if they weren't his daughters and they were his chicks, could there be groupies to cesspool pumping men?
Oh, Susan, I met the most wonderful man. And we go out together and we sit in his truck and we go pump out cesspools. I am so turned on. That is so hot. Oh, my God.
I don't know. This guy makes a good living. He charges a good amount of money to pump out your septic tank. But he knows stuff about the septic tank, but he doesn't know a lot about it. Because I asked him questions. I said, how do I keep my tank clean? And he said, don't put any hard items down your toilet. And try not to use colored toilet paper. And I thought, okay, maybe he did go to college because that could be a course right there. That could be a course. I don't know. It was just a passing thought in my head. As you know, I'm in love with the cheese manager at Roach Brothers, which is a local supermarket chain. I wouldn't say I'm in love with the cheese manager itself. It is a female, so I'm not that way with cheese. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a glorious job. And again, I've said so many times on the air, I don't know where you go to school to be a cheese manager in a supermarket. I guess you have to take various courses like advanced arranging cheese, because everybody knows the Gouda and the Parmesan never next to each other. Oh my God, that's going to cause a nuclear reaction. You have to know where to place your cheeses. What would cheeses do with the cheeses? That's what I want to know. Are they color coordinated, like the darker yellows with the lighter yellows, and then you get your whites, you get your mozzarella cheese and stuff like that, the fresh stuff. That's Blanco white. Where's proper to put that, and how do you integrate them with the crackers, man? How do you do that? I think you have to strategically put the cracker boxes somewhat near the cheese, I would think, but I didn't go to school for that. But somebody did. The cheese manager probably did. You can't get a job as a cheese manager in a supermarket if you haven't had a cheese education, which means you know a lot about cheese and you haven't gone to the bathroom in 6 years. Those two things. But it's you know, I can imagine a job interview. Welcome to Roach Brothers. We do have an opening for cheese manager. Have you worked in cheese before?
Yes, I started out in cheese. I've been in cheese for about 2 years.
You have any managerial experience with cheese? Does cheese listen to you?
Yes, I was an assistant cheese manager at Shaw's.
I didn't know they had one.
Neither did I. And I did really well. And then I saw this opening, and me and cheese, we get along really, really well.
What's your favorite cheese?
I don't know where to start. I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers, so I can wear cheese on my head. I love Swiss because I like the open concept of the holes. I think that's really nice. Gives you that airy feeling. And I love cheese, man. Cheese wrappers, man, you can't keep me away from them. Very, very excited about cheese. I think the real trick to it,
what do you think the real trick to managing cheese is?
You have to know how to handle the cheese. It's important, and you have to wear special cheese gloves and have to have a big cheese education.
Well, you certainly know your cheese.
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
I wouldn't want to date a cheese manager, though, because they could come home smelling like cheese, and cheese somewhat smells like bad feet. So that kind of, but very similar to the cesspool guy who's pumping cess all day. These are smelly occupations, but somebody has to do it, as I said, and somebody does. So not so bad. Speaking of smelly occupations, you know that one of my favorite people on the planet is Donald Trump, the little bastard. I wish he would nothing. I don't want to be nasty or violent. But he's just the lowest part of... If hell is in the middle of the earth, this guy was born there. He's an awful, awful man. He was on a show called The View before he ran for president. He was thinking of running for president. He has a lovely daughter named Ivanka. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your next president of the United States. And this is what he said on The View about his daughter, Ivanka.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
You know? Stop it! So weird. Stop.
You know
it.
What? You are
living on.
Sick.
Know, yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Well, you
terrible.
Know for saying outrageous things, Mr. Like Trump.
Wow. Oh my God. I don't even know what to say. Let's listen to that again, because I can't believe he said that.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Stop it. Oh, it's so weird. Stop.
You know
it.
What? You are living on.
Oh my God, that's disgusting. Oh man. Whew. Bad. That is bad. If Ivanka wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her. You little asshole, man. That's disgusting.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person, because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
That's a John Shanahan who does that announcing for me. Hey, if John's nose were any bigger, I'd be dating him. I got to tell you, yeah, I know, it's disgusting. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. That's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Donald Trump, you little piece of nothing. Get out of here. Throw him out. Throw out Trump. Throw him out of this place. Throw him out. Throw him out. Idiot. Jerk. Jerk. Idiot. Absolutely disgusting. Hey, if Donald Trump dated his daughter, would you still support him? No, you wouldn't? You sure? You wouldn't? Woody Allen did it, and you still see his movies. Well, it wasn't his daughter, really. It was his stepdaughter, which is okay, I guess. But if it's your real daughter and you date her, if she wasn't your daughter, God, that's like a compliment that didn't work out very well. Ugh, eek. Of course, if Donald Trump in broad daylight shot somebody on Fifth Avenue in New York City in Manhattan, he wouldn't lose one supporter. That's what he said. Then I guess if you would vote for him no matter what. Because this man is just disgusting. He is the lowest common denominator of disgustingness. He's awful. It's just awful. I mean, we'll talk about him. Do you like fish? Do you eat fish? Every once in a while, I feel a little bit guilty that I don't eat enough fish because I'm told by all these health experts that you should include fish in your diet. And I don't do that enough. I don't think of fish. I ignore fish. They're not on my mind a lot. I think about beef a lot. I think about chicken because chicken's all over the place and there's so much to do with chickens. You can have cockfights and stuff and you can eat the chickens, but fish, not really. I'm not a guy. I never went fishing with my father. Whenever I'd throw him in the water, he would crawl out of the pond, so that didn't work too well. I don't think of fish, but every once in a while, I say I should be eating fish. You know, when I really think about fish and I get kind of hungry for fish is when I go to an aquarium. Yeah, they usually have the big fish tank in the middle of the aquarium with all the different kind of fish in them, and they're swimming around. To me, it's like a big restaurant. Like, you stand there and you point at the fish, and maybe there's some guy catches it and then broils it up for you, and you eat it right there. It's a disgusting thought, but that's what they do with lobsters. So when I go to an aquarium, I get very hungry for fish. But oddly enough, when you go to the little cafe, there's no fish and chips in an aquarium for some reason. I don't understand that. You would think going to an aquarium, people would all go, I feel like fish. aquarium, they should just have like a very large tank filled with tartar sauce. Once in a while, when you go to an aquarium, they have that, you know, that big tank with all the fish in it, you know, and then they have these divers that go in with the snorkels on and the tanks and everything, and they swim amongst the rest of the fish. And you know, you got to say to yourself, what are the fish thinking here? I mean, they're probably looking at the guys swimming around, going, "What are you doing? What are you doing in here? Do we go up on land and bother you?" I don't think so. I don't really like aquariums. You should let the fish out. They're always in the tanks. They should be let go so that they can, you know, walk around and get a sandwich or something, you know. Let them out of the tanks every once in a while. Walk them. Put them on a little fish leash, and give them a little, you know, take them around. Nice to have. I had a fish tank when I was a little kid, maybe about 10 years old or something. I had there were goldfish or guppies. I don't know, something, a minnow. I don't know what the hell they were. There were no labels on them, so I don't know what they were. But and I had them, and I liked them, but I couldn't play with them because my parents told me, oddly enough, if you take them out of the fish tank, they'll die. And I thought, yeah, you're just saying that. Come to find out, it was true. We had fish that we did. We would go to the pet store and we would bring the fish home in a bag. And I was always concerned. I said to my parents, the fish can't breathe. They can't breathe. They're all sealed up in a bag. So in the car, I started poking holes in the bag so they could breathe. And of course, the water got all over the place and the fish died anyway. And we went back to the fish store and got some more fish. And I used to just sit there for hours and watch them swim around and realized, my life really isn't as boring as I thought, because, I mean, everything is in comparison, isn't it? You know, if you see someone walking down the street who is like terrifically ugly, you probably would feel good about yourself. Like, whoa, at least I'm not that ugly. You know, that everything's in comparison to other people, you know? So, you know, if I see a panhandler, you know, like asking for money, I say, well, at least I've got some money, so I feel good about myself. Yeah, that's what those things are there for. But so the fish would just swim around the tank, just in circles, because there were no hallways in the tank or anything. Sometimes you'd have a little plastic palm tree, or maybe a little plastic rock or something, but I think the fish pretty much knew that was plastic. So they looked like really bored, and sometimes the fish would stare at me like I was stuck in a large tank of life, and the fish would just look at me and stare at me and then try to kiss me with their lips. They would pucker their lips and just stare at me, and I felt like I was being invaded or something. It was awful. It was awful. And now when I go to seafood restaurants, I just, I don't feel comfortable about it, because I just think of my fish staring at me, and it just bothers me. I don't like to be stared at by other living things, including people. I don't get into that at all. I really don't. I don't know. I don't even know what kind of fish I like anymore. I don't even understand. They have salmon now. Now they're farm-raised salmon, so I guess someone gets up early, like at 5 o'clock in the morning, to rake the fish. I don't know what you do with a farm-raised fish. I guess you integrate it with the pigs. I'm not sure what they do. Why is there a farm? Why? They raise the fish. They raise them from little fish to big fish, and then they kill them. I think it's kind of cruel, to be honest with you. I don't know. Salmon apparently swim upstream, which someone should tap them on the fins and say, "Excuse me, you're going the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? It's like people in England driving on the wrong side of the street, and they know they're driving on the wrong side of the street. Just doesn't matter because everybody else is doing it. So I guess it's safe if everybody's doing it. But if one person says to themselves, hey, wait a minute, we're on the wrong side of the road, that's going to fuck everything up big time. It's the same with salmon. All the other fish and the rocks and all the debris are going like downstream. And the salmon, for some reason, say, we're going to fight the current because we do. I mean, they don't get it. They don't ever realize that they're going the wrong way, that it's so much easier to go downstream. Why would you go upstream all the time? And sometimes they even have to like jump out of the water in order to get over the rocks going upstream. And like, man, just give it up. Let your body go and go downstream and then spawn down there. Why do you have to spawn upstream? That's kind of stupid in a way. So, I mean, salmon are obviously stupid fish, but they're tasty. They're a tasty fish, so I give them a pass. Yeah, you don't see whales going upstream. Whales sometimes get beached, and I have difficulty with that because... it's sad because the whales are just like stuck in the sand and they can't get back into water. So people have to get out and push them back into the water. And I just think it's a big imposition on the whale. And I feel sorry for real fat people that go to the beach because I also feel inclined to push them back into the ocean. And then I realize, oh my God, that was wrong. That was a human being. Ooh, the blowhole kind of fooled me. I hate going to the beach. I don't like the beach at all. But that's a summer story, and I don't want to talk about it right now. But I am in the mood for fish because fish is supposed to be very good for you. We're supposed to be taking fish oil. My doctor tells me to take fish oil every day. And I'm not sure if my doctor wants to make me healthy or wants to kill me. It's kind of a fine line. So I take this fish oil. It's supposed to be good for my limbs and my ligaments and my brain and my circulation and all that kind of thing. Fish oil is supposed to be fantastic for you. And then I say to myself, well, fish oil is so good for me. How come the fish are dying all over the place? How can I see so many dead fish all over the place? They don't even have to take fish oil. They are fish oil. And yet they don't seem to be doing too well. So I don't know. I don't know. And then there's mercury in fish. Why did they put that in there? Why don't they have fish that are mercury free? I mean, why put mercury inside the fish? Why can't, if they can farm raise salmon, why can't they genetically raise mercury-free fish? Is it because they need to take their temperature constantly? I don't understand why mercury has to be in fish. And if you have a lot of tuna fish, you're putting a lot of mercury in your body, and I guess that's not good for you for some reason. They decided mercury is not great for you. So, I mean, there's no mercury supplements. You don't see people walking through the supplement section at CVS going, where's the mercury? Where's the mercury? They don't do mercury, I guess, has no place in your body. There's nothing to it. It's not a big deal. So whatever. I don't know. Confused about fish, but I do feel guilty that I'm not eating enough fish, and I need to eat more fish. And not a fish sandwich, because that's still bread. You know, you just need a good slab of fish. And there are some exotic fishes. I guess there's mahi-mahi, which I never heard about 10 years ago. That was not in. Now, mahi-mahi is a great fish. It's so good they said it twice. I don't know what it is. I go to the supermarkets. I never see mahi mahi, but I go to restaurants and it's always there. And then striped bass, the sea bass. I wouldn't know a sea bass if I tripped over one. Yet all I know about sea bass is it's about $30 a dish when you go to a seafood restaurant. I don't know what it is about sea bass, if it's laden with gold or something. But for some reason, sea bass is the big thing now. Sir, what are you eating? It's sea bass. Oh, sea bass. What does it taste like? Fish. I just like fish. I wouldn't know the difference between a sea bass and a grouper, to be honest with you. I don't know. But it says sea bass on the menu, and I guess I'm eating sea bass. I don't know. It doesn't say on it sea bass. It doesn't. How do I know the restaurant isn't just throwing me a chunk of pollock or something that's you know, like $2 a pound, but they're charging me $30 a plate because they're calling it sea bass now. I don't know what sea bass is. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. When I was a little kid, my mother told me that if I picked up one of those shells, you know, and put it to my ear, that I could hear the ocean. And I said, Mom, that's because I'm at the ocean. And what would happen, Mom, if I took the shell and I put it up to my ear and I was in, let's say Mississippi or something where there's no ocean? And she said, well, then you're not going to hear the ocean, you dumb smart ass bitch. Obviously, you're not going to hear the ocean if you pick up a shell. Why did you call me a dumb smart ass bitch anyway? I mean, that's like really nasty. But if you pick up a shell and you're on the and you're standing next to the ocean, you will indeed hear the ocean very loud. So I never understood that. I really didn't. Starfish, man. How come we're not eating starfish? It would make a very attractive fish on your plate, you know. Five people could eat one starfish. Do you ever have octopus? What do they call that, calamari or something? Is that squid, octopus? I don't know what the hell that is. But some people actually eat octopus. And I've said this before, a lobster is nothing but an overgrown cockroach with claws. You know that's true. You know that's true. If you saw this thing crawling around your bedroom in the middle of the night, you would freak out, you would die. And yet, for some reason, if you're in a restaurant, it's delightful. It's a delicacy. I love lobster. Well, look, there's one in your bedroom under your bed. Yeah, that's the difference. That's the difference. Of course, if I didn't know better, I would date a lobster. I think that would be really... Why, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with dating a lobster?
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Well, I'm going to go shopping. Maybe have some fish. Why not? Do you ever wonder what eating organic is? I don't know. I think eating organic just means anything that's like way too expensive is probably organic. Let's find out about that. Anessa Chumbly joins us now. Anessa
Chumbly joins us now. She's a dietitian and nutrition expert featured on Wish TV, Indianapolis, and other programs as well. Happy to have you on the show today, Anessa.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Ron.
Well, we're talking about something that is very close to my heart, and that's food. And how to eat healthy and healthy choices, which is not easy to do because I'm not too sure what's healthy, what's not, and what's organic and what isn't, and what the difference is. So how can you help me?
Great. I am here for you. This is my favorite topic, so I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Thank you.
It can be confusing. Nutrition is a confusing world.
Yeah, I don't understand, because organic is in my supermarkets, it's more expensive considerably, and yet it's more natural. You don't have to do anything to it. So I don't understand how, I would think that would be cheaper because I'm not asking you to do anything with it.
Yes. Wouldn't it be great if we could change that? I mean, that's a really good point. Yeah. There's so many benefits to going organic. But it is too much to do it all at once, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So just to take one product at a time and make that swap to the organic, I think is a great way to go.
If I went organic slowly, am I actually losing weight? Does it actually affect obesity?
Well, that's a great question. It depends on what you choose, of course. You know what I mean? It is a great idea. If you're into losing weight, to start to look at the produce section of your local Shaw's as nature's pharmacy.
Okay.
And once you start to, I like to recommend with weight loss that you go after those fruits and vegetables. Instead of focusing on what you got to leave behind, focus on what you need to get in. It's always best to focus on the positive. But those are going to be the foods that really fill you up and give you energy.
What's a good place to start? Give me an example of this.
When you go into the store, I have three tips that I like to recommend.
Okay.
First, organic and natural foods are going to be a great source for healthy living. But like we said, don't make the overhaul all at once, because health, the way I like to think of health is it's a series of impactful habits.
Mm-hmm.
Your health isn't going to be lost or found in one food.
Okay,
and then second, again, start to look at the produce section as nature's pharmacy. So some of my favorite things, I could go on and on about all the little things that each piece of produce does, but blueberries are going to be great for your brain. We're finding out that those are brain boosters and might preserve memory.
Mm-hmm.
Garlic may help lower cholesterol, and things like broccoli are going to be cancer fighters. So those are just a few of my favorites.
Well, that's all good, except for the garlic, because, you'll be healthier and your heart will be stronger, but you'll have no friends.
Exactly. Unless your friends eat garlic, too. And then it'll kind of cancel each other out. So I think you're going to be great. Garlic is one of the best things you can eat, and it's one of the least expensive. Garlic and onions are a great thing just to keep in your pantry all the time.
Yeah.
But when you go to the store, too, make sure, it sounds cliche, but go with a list, because when it comes to, you mentioned healthy eating and weight loss, one of the keys to those is prep. Prepping gives you future power, because it saves time and energy in the moment. To eat healthy, you've got to have healthy food on hand.
Mm-hmm.
So going with a list really, I think, streamlines things for us.
You know, they kind of make it easy for us if we just open our eyes, because the food labeling system, which is now mandatory, it really does tell you what's going on, what's in there, and you can really see if you're eating chemicals or if you're eating just the thing that you intended to eat here and none of the stuff thrown in, the preservatives, etc. It's really there. How accurate are those? Are they real? Are they, those labels, are they honest?
You know, they have to be, which is the great thing that I'm thankful for. And I like to tell people, there's a lot of messages, going on and on the package. Skip over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Go straight to the ingredients list. I call that our source of truth,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to be exactly where you find what you're putting in your body. And once you start to do that for a while, you can begin a relationship with some of the brands you trust.
Yes.
So a couple of my favorites are O Organics and Open Nature.
Okay. And because they're what's on that label is honest, and it's good.
It is. And you're going to be able, when you look at the ingredients list, look for a list that's pretty simple, that only has a few ingredients in it that are easy to pronounce words or some of the things that you're going to want to look for.
The words that didn't come out of a chemistry lab is what you're saying.
Exactly. You've got it.
Okay. All right. So, and now if you do eat natural and eat healthy, then I understand that the pounds will begin to shed slowly but surely.
That's right. There's a few basics to those. One of those is getting in breakfast, getting in plenty of hydration. And once you start to do that over and over, the beautiful thing is that those become habits. And once they're habits, it's like they get solid, and it's a foundation that you can kind of build on.
Yeah.
But once you start, I think, Ron, once you start to feel better, that's the best way for the habit to stick.
Yeah.
Because once you feel more energy, it propels you through your day.
It's absolutely true. It's a good point. Yeah, it's so much better because the doctor bills are too high otherwise. I haven't eaten fried foods in quite some time, and a friend of mine said, hey, try these, this, the fried chicken stuff. And I said, well, the chicken's good, but the fry, I can't eat this. I can't even eat this. And I used to. Now I can't. It turns my stomach.
That's a great point. Once you've made a change and then you go back to it, people tell me that all the time, and I love it.
Yeah.
That's a really positive message. You kind of have to start with the change and trust that it's going to be better on the other side.
Yeah. Now, Anessa, one thing you say, which is really true, is, and I always believe this, you can exercise as much as you want, but if you aren't eating healthy foods, it ain't going to make any difference. Yet on the flip side, if you eat healthy foods and you don't exercise as much, you'll still get a good result.
You know what? You will. And as much, our bodies were made to move. So as much as you can move throughout the day, that doesn't necessarily mean going to the gym and spend an hour.
I don't have time for that.
You don't have time. You can do things sitting right there in your chair, standing up, whatever you're doing. You can find ways to move your body.
Of course.
But the two go hand in hand. Yeah.
I never particularly enjoyed sweating. You go to the gym and you all sweated and you're stinking and you got to take a shower and you can't breathe and you're short of breath. And I thought that just doesn't feel good. So it's different. I'm glad you have that.
Why do people do that? Right.
Right. Now, you mentioned Shaw's, and I got one near me, and I go there because they clearly mark off their organic sections and their natural food sections, and it does make it so much easier. You don't have to waste all this time looking at everything.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I always have a few kids with me when I go to the store, and I try and make teaching moments, and it can get kind of crazy, so I really appreciate the fact that they've made easy-to-spot signage for their organics or natural products in Shaw's.
Yeah, and I have a feeling as we go on in our years that they're going to be prominent sections in these supermarkets pretty soon.
Yep, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so where can we go for more information?
Yes, just head on over to your local Shaw's the next time you shop for organics or natural products, and you're going to find hundreds of things to choose from there.
And when you go there, say, Annabelle sent me in, they'll say, oh my goodness, okay, fine, come on in.
Vanessa, that is so right. You tell them that and connect them with me, and I'm here for you, Ron, whatever you need.
You can't go wrong.
On your health journey.
You can't go wrong.
Hey, that's right.
Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. You have a lovely day.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, nice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. I'm going to be back tomorrow with more program. Until then, I certainly do wish you peace.